therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner, and I'm your host, David Prus. And with me today, if you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. It's been a while since I've done this, so I've sort of a little bit of rusty there. but I have in the studio with me Mike Prox, who... Thank you for all the replacement hosts that you did.
Yes.
And I have in the studio here Brett Roderman, the only Republican conservative that won last night.
well, other than Audra Hall. Audra made it across the finish line, but yeah. that was the only two.
So. I did not.
Yeah. Yep, sorry for that.
We go on.
Yep. Life moves on.
So, Brett, what do you think happened?
Well, I've only had a little bit of time to start analyzing the numbers. I'll go over them in more depth in the next few days. But to me, looking from the outside in, looks like we had pretty low voter turnout. Looks like, what do we got here? 18.87%. So out of 77,684 registered voters in the borough, we had a whopping, 11,265 show up. So we got low voter turnout. And, you know, if you look at most of the races, they were pretty much dead heats. There was no real massive blowouts in this. So I think it was just a matter of, you know, our side didn't show up. You got low voter turnout. Our side, you know, it was always hard to get to the polls. We've talked about this ad nauseum on this show and in forums and, you know, as we campaign, we talk about that a lot. So, yeah, I'm thinking it's low voter turnout, and they did a better job of motivating their folks to get out and vote. So their candidates win.
Mike, what do you think happened?
Well, pretty much the turnout was pretty low, to say the least.
Right.
I was surprised the city turnout was 15%.
Yeah, 15%.
Epically low.
Yes, and that's real surprising, and not as many. Early votes. I was just surprised. I expected that there would be many more early voting.
You know, I talked to our city clerk yesterday, and she said the city of Fairbanks had more early votes than they had before at their polling station. But over at the borough, it was down significantly.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, just one with the early voting, the one that stood out to me was Barbara Haney's race. So, you know, early voting, she got 1,028 votes. Patrick received 1,792. So that's a pretty significant split. You know, you're, whenever you start off election night down in early voting, you're clamoring to get back ahead. And then with this, the low turnout, it was just a matter of whose side was going to show up. And I think based on the numbers, that's pretty clear what side showed up.
Yep.
Ready for a phone call?
Yeah.
Good morning. You're listening to KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Bob Kennedy.
Bob, Tom Kennedy, how you doing?
Hey, very good. Hey, I hate to say this, but the history government teacher will say that negative campaigning does work, only in cases where the vote is close.
Yeah, you're correct.
And so if you look at Melissa Burnett and your race, which were close, that's what happened. They flooded the zone with negative campaigning.
That is correct.
Yep. What I would say though is that on the positive side, you know, with Hannah coming out and running a tough race, and starting, you're starting to see younger conservatives pop out. And I like that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to hold my breath during this close administration with all the things that are happening on the national scale. Hopefully these folks don't just see this as a mandate to create chaos up here, as we're really in a time that our community, city, and borough could profit and see us go, you know, 50 years ahead or 50 years behind. So, props to you for running a positive campaign, for being out there. I saw you out there on Pegger and Airport, and you're like the only conservative guy out there, and thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
Ruben out at, he was out over on, you know, on Chena Pump, but you know, the thing is they're getting people just to be flag wavers. A lot of the retired folks are out there, and it's tough if you're working, you know.
That is true.
We had a hard time getting folks to sign up to SignWave. You know, we had an app going around for people to sign up for whatever street corner. We did. We had a hard time getting people. But that's, again, you nailed it right on the head. You know, our folks are out working, you know. You know, I got a business to run that hogs a bunch of time.
Are you trying to say the government shutdown helped them?
Yeah, right. You know, JT, you know, I've gotten some calls about JT and, you know, taking some criticism for him, why they didn't call him direct. They had to call me. But, you know, JT's a master plumber. He's a boiler technician. He's a one-man show. And look outside, folks. What time of year is it? Happens to be the busiest time for a plumber, right, and a guy working on boilers. You know, whatever time we got out of him for campaigning was probably all he had to give. Could he have given more? Yeah. Could I have given more? Heck yeah. All of us could have.
Yep.
But, you know, it is what it is.
Mr. Kennedy, you have a good day. We're going to take another phone call.
Yep.
Good morning. You're on KFER Radio, and your name is?
Hey, it's Craig Compo. Dave, how are you doing?
Good, doing well, Craig. You know, I used your acronym or your thought last night in my concession speech.
Which was?
I'm used to disappointment. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Yeah, you didn't make it to the big dance day, but neither will the Cowboys this year.
Yeah, like I said, I'm used to disappointment.
I just want to touch on kind of what Brett was talking about is, a perfect example, I was at a local restaurant last night, and the owner, who's a very busy guy, great guy, 5:30, he says, hey, I got to get out of here. I got to go vote. So he's very involved. I mean, he's politically astute and everything else. He is just busy. He's always busy, but he got out and voted. And when he came back later that night and we saw the results, I said, I'm not going to say the name. I said, Mr. Restaurant Owner, you need to probably hike each drink price up 50 cents. taxes are coming, buddy. So you're gonna have to try and set a little aside to pay your taxes. I'd start now. So anyway, that's my point. Is you get the hardworking business people that they just can't dedicate the time that government employees that sit at a desk and union leaders and whatever it is. I'm not pointing the finger at any specific group, but it's such an obvious mindset difference and available time difference. It's really difficult to win under these circumstances, but you're right, at 18%, like in your case, Dave, 10% of the vote decided that election. 10% of the voters voted for your opponent, and you got 8 or whatever the difference was. But yeah, that's a problem. I don't know how we turn this around.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, let me ponder that one for a while. Craig, appreciate the phone call, buddy, and I appreciated how you were able to be a repair host for me at times, buddy.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure, David. Good job the last 3 years. I mean, you did a really good job. It's sad what happened. But
yeah, I appreciate it. I have no issues with it. I really don't.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have a good morning, buddy.
Yep, thanks.
And Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages. And hang on.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hey, it's Craig Campo inviting you to kick back with me by the campfire every Saturday for the Outdoor Show. We'll be talking about living the Alaskan outdoor dream with fascinating guests, even some favorite stories and memories from a lifetime spent on the trails and waterways, hunting, fishing, and camping across this great state. Join me, Craig Campo, for the Outdoor Show, brought to you by Campos since 1945. Listen in Saturday afternoons at 12:30 p.m. for the Outdoor Show right here on KFAR Radio.
Get a grip on winter with Bridgestone Blizzak studless snow tires. Make the switch. Buy your set of GCR tires and service. You'll drive in confidence with positive acceleration, controlled turning and braking on snow and ice. Experience how Blizzak studless snow tires have revolutionized winter driving forever. You will fear no icy street nor snowy highway. Get a grip. You will love your Bridgestone Blizzak snow tires. GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys, Taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman. You can plan on it every day. You're either building something or you're repairing and adjusting stuff around the house. The list is long, from squeaking hinges to the annoying kitchen cabinet that refuses to stay shut. Well, there's always something, right? Sticky doors to the occasional wiring job and everything in between. You need tools, and Century Hardware has your back with the hand tools, power tools, and the largest selection of fasteners in the interior. Open every day. Century Hardware, what you need right now.
KFAR weather.
Rain showers likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 52. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lulz level off around 39. Tonight, slight chance for scattered rain showers. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 45. Overcast skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Ulua Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back in the studio here with Mike Prox, representative, and Brett Rotterman, the survivor.
The survivor. the lone survivor. It's down to me and Tammy now.
Well, you know, it's interesting with Audra Hall. Mm-hmm. I think her candidate was so bad, her competition was so bad, you know, just looking at her and hearing her, and it wasn't a factor.
Yeah, I think that played into it for sure. Yeah. But the other thing is, you know, Audra from very early on was our crossover candidate. She resonated with both sides. And I can't put my finger on that. I wasn't at the individual events that she was at, but something in her messaging or something she was saying resonated.
Yep.
And I think she just stuck to the issues, the problems. Poor Melissa was just drug down in all the school closure stuff, and you know.
Yeah, I'm sure that was and really too bad. Those were decisions that had to be made, and yeah. You take some heat for that.
You know, we were all casualties of particular spots.
Yep.
You know, and Melissa, she had the state NEA after her.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like myself, that came at me too, had the unions after us.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Planned Parenthood after me.
Mm-hmm.
So you just take all that into account,
right?
And that's a hard trifecta to go beat.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep.
And Melissa, because of the school closures and because of the union contract for the custodians,
yeah,
you know, and she was the leader of the school district board.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, she paid the highest price for the actions of the school board.
Right.
And the race was still close.
Yeah,
it was still close. Very close.
And yeah, disappointing that Melissa exceeded my expectations on the school board. She did a very good job of bringing the school board together.
Absolutely.
I don't know if anybody really thought about that much, but she did a really good job of bringing the board together. It was much more cohesive board.
They kicked all of us cohesive leaders out.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the same thing with the city. I was surprised there that you solved many of the labor shortages problems. That really, that surprised me. I was floored. I think you hired a bunch more firefighters, case in point, and
well,
then they backed
her. The case in point with that was they wanted me out because I took away their power. In our last arbitration, for the first time in 30 years, I got the power back to the city. So they aren't the ones in charge of the manpower.
Yeah.
The city is.
Yeah.
But now you're going to have a mayor who's probably going to let them have the manpower.
Well, and the decision-making power.
Yeah.
That's not good for the public. I don't mean to dump on the unions. You have to work together with the labor unions, but
AFL-CIO was definitely against me. Yet I gave them, without going into their contract, I gave them a $4 per hour across the board raise.
Hmm. Yeah.
Without waiting for their contract to be up. So this things like that, you know. And but that's life. That's life.
Yep.
Yeah.
What gets me is you have these blue collar unions supporting greenies.
There is an alliance there.
Yeah, and that just has always, for the last 30 to 40 years, that's always floored me.
Yeah.
How can they support candidates that put them out of business?
Yep.
Or put them out of work, either way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Getting back to the Melissa Audra thing, Melissa, in my opinion, she was in it depends on how you want to look at this, the right spot at the wrong time or the wrong spot at the right time.
Yeah.
Somebody had to lead that board. She stepped up. She became the face of the janitors being contracted out and the school closures. And I just think that was a tough thing to overcome.
Right.
Audra came into it. She's the fresh face. And I think, her messaging was good. It was consistent. But I think what people saw on both sides of the aisle was, when we saw it, Audra is like a numbers person.
Oh,
I mean,
my goodness.
She's going to be the Aaron Lajeski of the school board.
Yes.
You know what I mean? She's very numbers driven. She's very data driven. That's why, a lot of times, and I kept telling her, put the paper down, speak from the heart. But she has so many ideas and so much hard data. Mm-hmm. It's hard to memorize all that. But mm-hmm. she will analyze stuff, and I think both sides were like, hey, this is the kind of person maybe we need to keep some of these folks that aren't numbers people straight on mm-hmm. the board. So mm-hmm. I think that could have played a factor there.
And she was such a highly superior person than the candidate she was going against.
She had done her homework.
Yeah.
Boy, you talk about advocating for schools. She was doing that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt. And she had a proven track record
of
it. I mean, she didn't just say it.
Yep.
She didn't just believe it in her head. She did it,
What about the Haney factor?
So, we talked about this. We talked about this through the whole campaign. That everybody knew. Everybody certainly on our side and during the campaign, everybody knew that Barbara was going to be the target in this. We've talked about this. We've talked about this on this show. We've talked about it at forums. It's no secret. We all knew. And I remember telling people, guys, you've got to get motivated to get out and vote because they are coming after this woman. Tammy Wilson told me a year or two ago, if you want your side to show up at the polls and vote, you got to tick them off. May 7th tax cap election totally proved that.
Mm-hmm.
That made so many people in this town so mad, they showed up almost 3-1 at the polls to vote that thing down.
Do you think there's a higher turnout on the left because they're mad at Barbara Haney?
I do believe that. I think that was their motive. That was there May 7th.
Yeah.
She definitely made herself a target going after, and, I guess God bless her. She had her point. But when it comes to the election, I guess that's kind of the consequences you suffer.
Right. I mean, if you're going to be an outspoken person and you're going to really work hard for folks, and, you're going to say sometimes what needs to be said. She didn't have much of a filter sometimes. But, that can play a factor when you come around for re-election. And, she made a lot of people really upset. And I think, again, to me, it was the left's May 7th, mm-hmm. you know, and they answered the call. Mm-hmm. And I think looking at these numbers, not diving in super deep, but when I look at the base numbers here and I look at the pie charts, most of the races were pretty much a dead heat. Barbara's was not, you know, it was very clear that, Patrick won that
smoked
election.
It, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Right. And then you look at the undervotes in that race, you know, you look at some of the other data, you can see there were people that showed up strictly to vote against Barbara Haney. It might not have been even a vote for Patrick Roach. It was a vote against Barbara Haney. Mm-hmm. So, and I think, you know, and you look at my race,
you had a 25% factor of write-in candidate.
That there was no advertising, there was no campaign, there were no signs. This was something that was done probably electronically by email, by social media. And this person got 25% of the vote. I mean, honestly, my hat is kind of off here. And I'm sitting there thinking, I told my wife this morning, I said, do you realize that if the first candidate that had filed against me hadn't have dropped out and ran a long campaign just like I did, mm-hmm. I might be out of a job.
That would be
you'd be out of an elected position.
Yeah. I would be out of an elected position.
Yes.
Potentially. Yeah. And so, I mean, to garner 25% of that vote in 2 weeks with no advertising, no signs on the highway, mm-hmm. no nothing, that is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to the Olson Armstrong McComas.
That one's an interesting one.
Yep. That is interesting.
Yep.
So, Mr. Expert,
what happened?
Give us the details.
This is my opinion alone, but
as we say at the very beginning of this interview,
right? That's
broadcast,
right. Yeah.
It's our opinion.
It's our opinion. So, no, I think we knew that Jeannie was going to split the vote. My opinion was going into this that she would split the vote in JT's favor. Mm-hmm. It appears that exactly the opposite happened. Mm-hmm. She took the votes from JT and potentially gave them to Garrett. And again, if you take Jeannie Olson out of this, for folks that are in radio land here, we're looking at these pie charts here. But if we take Jeannie's votes out of the pie chart, that election could have been another dead heat. And so,
yeah,
this is interesting stuff.
It is, yes.
Depressing, but interesting.
We're boring as all get out.
Right?
We're looking at numbers and pie charts.
Pie charts,
oh,
I know.
We're having the time of our life. Oh, yeah. Look at how excited Mike Prox is. Yeah. He's exuberating excitement over their airwaves here.
Well, and Jeannie, that was a mystery. Jeannie is definitely thinks for herself. She's an independent voter. She pays attention to what's going on, known for that. She has ideas that some people don't agree with, but she really she wants to see the government run right, too. And,
I was at a couple forums with her, and I went, mm-hmm. that's as a, you know, no offense, but mm-hmm. half a click off.
but Jeannie, the other thing
she's very intelligent about some things, but then you just listen to what she says and you just go, that's half a click off.
She gets off in the weeds. But,
yeah,
you know, she, air quality was a big thing for her, and she and Lance Roberts got together. She started it, and she did what she could do herself before she got all involved in getting everybody else involved. But I really appreciate that about Jeannie. She is just as sincere as can be.
Well, and she also, so kind of like me, when I ran the first time, a lot of people knew me from my business.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the name recognition. A lot of people associated me with my company.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of people associated Jeannie with her veterinarian practice. Jeannie is a lot of people's veterinarian.
Yes, indeed.
You know, so she had a strong following there.
Yep.
And she was out working it. I mean, you
know. That she was.
I saw her on street corners. I saw her folks on street corners. She put up signs. I mean, she was out there.
Yep.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're going to sit here in the purple padded room with some North Korean equipment and think of reasons why I got my backside whipped. But we will be back.
On KFAR 97.5 FM,
660 AM. Fox News, I'm John Saucier. The Senate again failing today to pass a Democratic support funding bill that could end the ongoing government shutdown.
On this vote, the yeas are 47, the nays are 52. Three-fifths of the Senate duly chosen and sworn not having voted in the affirmative, the motion upon reconsideration is not agreed to.
This bill would have extended health care subsidies from the Affordable Care Act, a key demand from Democrats. Republicans say they're open to negotiation after the government is reopened. A Republican measure also failed today. The Justice Department announcing the arrest of a suspect accused of starting the Palisades fire in California. Special Agent in charge of the ATF's LA Field Division is Kenny Cooper.
After more than 8 months of tireless, meticulous work, I stand here with our partners, proud to announce an arrest in connection to the devastating Palisade fires.
The suspect, a 29-year-old male who has residence in Florida. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
As the government shutdown continues to create financial stress for many Alaskans, concerns are mounting among furloughed workers who may not receive back pay for their time off. Alaska's news source reports Alaska 211, a program operated by the United Way of Anchorage, is stepping up to provide resources and assistance to those affected by the shutdown, which reached day 7 on Tuesday. The program connects people with essential services during time of crisis. All calls are free and confidential, providing a safe space for those seeking assistance. Community resource specialists connect Alaskans to available resources that help with basic needs such as food pantries, healthcare services, mental health counseling, job training, and much more. Alaskans seeking help can connect with Alaska 211 in several ways. You can call 211 Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. till 5 p.m. or search the 211 online database directly at alaska211.org or email alaska211@ak.org.
Streaming live online at kfar660.com.
RSF and the Woodway are proud to present the Keystone Alaska Wood Fireplace. The Alaska DEC approved Opal Plus Keystone Alaska is the result of fine craftsmanship inspired by versatility and built on more than 30 years of proven performance with high efficiency wood burning fireplace. The Keystone is perfect for adding modern sophistication to your home and practicality for heating spaces over 2,000 square feet with catalytic technology. RSF, built on quality, innovation, and originality. Class with comfort, the Alaskan way, the right way, the Woodway.
Relationship woes got you down? Here's some reasons why Golden Heart Waste Management is better than your next ex. We never need time to figure things out. No mixed signals from us. Your ex ran from commitment, we run on schedule. The only thing we dump is the trash. Less heartbreak, more curb appeal. Here's the deal. We pick up trash, not red flags. Drama-free since bin one. Trash day with us, we'll never stand you up. If you're looking for a relationship that you'll never get a 2 a.m. Venmo request, give Golden Heart Waste Management a call. And remember, if you haven't gotten a quote from us, you're probably paying too much.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here again. I'm back in the saddle again, having fun with my homies. And, gentlemen, I think we should do this about every 2 weeks, is that three of us get together and sort of solve all the world problems and and cohabitate in my purple padded room.
I think you need to do it like, you know, like the Duke show, so people can listen to what we talk about, you know, off the air. You know, you can have the little subscription, you know, the backroom stuff, you know. That's where we really solve all the problems.
I know, you know? I know. And, you know, we were lamenting Melissa Burnett's race over our idle time here.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, she was the poster child for the anger from what the school board had to do. They had no choice.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not like they had, except for Brandy Hardy, they had total votes in favor of everything they did.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But she was the poster child of it.
Yes, and really she, I thought, just did a remarkable job of bringing the school board together, working with the administration on a very difficult problem. She faced it.
And this is what's going to happen. You know, they're all going to say, you know, the teachers union is going to say, we stopped the school closures now because we got rid of a few people.
Yeah, no.
No, that was over. That was over.
Yep, that had to be done. And she was down, you know, just background information. She, when Melissa was down in Juneau, she was there for more funding for the schools. And
yeah, she wasn't down there politicking to close our
she
schools.
Was doing
she was there trying
she
to
could.
Save whatever
yes.
you know she could.
And I still remember her first, her as an elected official, her first Republican summer salad event.
Mm-hmm.
Where the governor happened to come in,
mm-hmm.
and her tearing him a new one,
right?
Yep,
because she cut some of the funding,
right?
And that's Melissa Burnett.
Yeah, she was very much working, doing the best she could for the schools, for the whole school district. That was great.
And a school board president, we were talking about this during the break.
Yep.
They could have handed her a script, you know, as the presiding officer or the president. You're running the meeting. That's your primary thing, is to be the chair of the meeting. They could have handed her a script, and she didn't make any decisions. You know, she was just literally reading from the script and trying to run the meeting. But you know, guess what? When all the janitor stuff came about and the school stuff closures came about, guess what?
It's all on her.
Somebody's going to be the poster child for that because you know you're the presiding officer, so. You know, sometimes that's just how it works out. You're in the right place at the wrong time or vice versa, you know.
Yep.
So, but,
But on a positive note, get back to, I think we're really going to be pleased with Audra Hall on the board. She has really done her homework.
And
I think that's going to do good. And, you know, the board over the last few years has done much better than I expected with dealing with admittedly tough problems, facing them and make it work out. And I think there's some good coming out of that. There will be. We will be pleasantly surprised, I think. The district has turned Midnight Sun Building into a correspondence program, and I think that's going to get a lot of people back into the borough school district that are now going, taking advantage of, if you will, out of district programs. And nothing against those programs. They're doing the public a favor. IDEA and Raven and can't think of the other names or Lynx, but at any rate, offering more choice. But the school district has got an opportunity and they're doing good with Nordale. Making a better product, and I think they can do the same thing, and in a year or two, I think we're going to be really pleasantly surprised.
Where's this at?
Midnight Sun. That's off of Bradway Road out in the North Pole area.
Yeah.
And I don't have the numbers.
I think you're right.
Yeah. There's probably 1,000 students
in
that area.
It's a great location.
Yep. And there'll be competition. IDEA has opened their office out there as well, and of course they're into this more than the borough. So they're ahead of the borough, but the borough's just getting going. But I think if they lean into that correspondence program, the opportunities out there, I think they'll do very well.
Well, everyone's screaming for money, and my whole fault of our school district that started 15 years ago is they started losing parents.
Yep.
To obsessive DEI stuff, students were pulled out.
Yep.
And they weren't prepared to compete. Now they're getting they're preparing to compete to get the students back.
Right.
And it's the student numbers that give you your money.
It's the base student allocation.
Yeah.
Ready for a phone call? The biggest loss has been the students. Yeah.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
My name is Mike. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, I was just curious, since we got all this talent sitting there.
Go ahead, Mike.
If we're going to do anything about the state of Alaska funding education to any reasonable level here in the borough, similar to what they do in the rest of the state. And I'm just wondering if you guys have made any progress on bringing the state of Alaska into compliance with its constitution on that issue.
I suppose I should take that one. The state.
You are the learned master.
Yes, right. Yeah. The state of Alaska is fulfilling its constitutional obligation. It doesn't say that you fund schools unlimited. The state sets up and maintains a system of public education. And exactly what that means is ultimately big political decisions. The more sad news, the state is short on money and something has got to give at the state level. And then balance that by, we have got, I think, a big opportunity on the pipeline construction and all of the potential for development up here. It's going to be good, but it's going to be lean for a few years.
So we got two mics, Mike on the phone and Mike in the studio.
Right.
Now, Mike on the phone, this is the question I'd be asking Mike in the studio. Mm-hmm. You just said that we are compliant with all the statutes of the state constitution.
Yep.
What was our largest expense of the last legislature? Was it health or human services, or was it education?
It is health and human services.
Okay.
And
number two would be education.
Number two would be education. And there's some really tough decisions at the state level that need to be made about education. But one positive thing that I just came across about a month ago, thanks to Dr. Rott at the school district, it appears that we are leaving, I would say, on the order of $10 million statewide on federal aid. And if we pay more attention to that, me personally, the way it looks right now, is that the state should take on more of the responsibility of figuring out which properties are eligible for federal impact aid and also the students.
Mike on the phone, do you have anything else for Mike in the studio?
Well, yeah, I do. I want to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for asking those questions for me, Dave. I appreciate that. I guess I feel like I'm a puppy in the backyard and somebody yelled squirrel because I was interested in chewing in your shoe. You know what I'm saying? you brought up this potential pipeline that's going to save our lives. It's going to cure our problems. You know, meanwhile, you know, it's not equitable. If you live out of the organized boroughs, you get pretty much all your funding. But if you live in a borough,
you're absolutely right.
You know, and I just, your answer, Mike, was subpar. I'll just be nice.
Oh, dang it.
Subpar. And I feel like I got yelled out, squirrel, somewhere else.
What
you're looking for.
Yes. No, you are correct.
Mike on the phone, you got to remember he's in a purple padded room.
Yes. No, you're absolutely correct. I agree with you that there is inequity in funding. Well, at the state level, the state legislature has got to make some tough decisions about how districts are funded, and you know, there's just some tough decisions need to be made.
It's discrimination, and I mean that's how it feels.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I'd like to hold my breath for another pipeline, but I'm sure we'll pay those guys to build it, and I'm sure we'll pay them to send gas and oil through it when they build it. So. Not really counting on any income from that, personally, from what I've seen happens.
Mm-hmm.
Just FYI.
Sure.
Well, look, I appreciate you guys, and good luck to you. Dave, sorry you lost your election. And Mike, look forward to talking with you.
I appreciate it. Now, mm-hmm. I'm going to read you a text I just got. This is what you go through.
Mm-hmm.
How bad do you have to be to a one-term Republican mayor in the state, Republican state, to, you know, the... Guess you can now go back to your stuffing your face, you goofy, disgusting human pig. Lazy-ass campaign and dog poop term. But your ugly mommy is proud looking up from the flames of hell. Lost to a Democratic woman, you incompetent, insecure, lazy, you loser. This is why nobody really likes you. Your dad was a dumb scumbag, too. Dog bloodline. Get the out of here, you clown mother.
Wow.
That's... Oh, you did a great job reading that.
Yeah.
By the way.
Wow.
That's real motivating.
I know.
Tell us how you really feel.
I know. You know, did you use ChatGPT?
Yeah. Jeez.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a phone call real fast. Good morning. You're on KFVR Radio, and your name is?
Hey, this is Tom, 13 Mile Beer Table, David.
Hello, Tom.
You're still the fastest mayor.
Thank you. You know, I don't know if I could finish that race now.
You almost didn't finish it last time.
I know, but I appreciate it on the 18 mile stretch, that beer you gave me. That got me through it.
The woman who finished in last place this year beat you by 19 minutes.
You know, everyone's making me feel really good about myself today.
I have some hope for you. Mayor Pruse, I have hope for you.
Thank you very much. We got to go, sir. You take care. We're going to take a break.
I'm not done yet. David,
we're going to take a break.
I want to make my comment.
Make your comment.
Your favorite president can send in the National Guard. He can implement the Insurrection Act, and you can remain mayor.
There you go.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Problem solved.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Want to help parents in the Tanana Valley with free diapers, wipes, car seats, parenting classes, and so much more? Register now for the Find Out Free Fall Banquet Fundraiser. Celebrate 35 years of empowering and assisting women, men, and families from pregnancy through parenting. Friday, October 10th, 6 to 8 at the 8 Star Event Center. Admission is free, but you must register. Seating is limited. Get your tickets now at findoutfree.com. FYNDOUT free.com.
It's officially fall and time again for the radio station's third annual Tour of Boutiques, Saturday, October 11th, featuring many of Fairbanks' favorite boutiques and shops: Audrey's Women's Wear, Roaming Root Cellar, Lycan, In My Element, Terry's Vintage Boutique, The Peony Patch Uprooted, and Northern Sparrow Boutique, each with their own sales, specials, and more. So grab your crew and hit the streets. Make sure to grab your passport from any location, get it stamped at each, and then turn it in at your final stop for your chance to win $500 in cash. Plus additional prizes. It's the radio station's third annual Tour of Boutiques, Saturday, October 11th, and going all day long, giving you plenty of time to hit them all and fill that passport for your chance to win big. So we'll see you Saturday, October 11th, for the third annual radio station Tour of Boutiques. Oh, hey, that looks really good on you.
Comfortable, friendly, professional, and yes, affordable. Those are just some of the words locals use to describe the service they receive from the folks at Affordable Dental Care. Let's face it, nobody loves going to the dentist, but the staff at Affordable Dental Care go above and beyond to make sure you and your entire family's dental experience is an easy one, using the latest technology and procedures with your comfort and care in mind, and at a price that your family can afford. That's Affordable Dental Care on 14th Avenue, just off Airport Way. Affordable Dental Care.
Weather brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoors. Your next adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters. For your Alaskan lifestyle, it's Frontier Outfitters.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with rain showers likely. Daytime highs approaching 52. Winds out of the south 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 39. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. And we're going to take a phone call for someone who's been very patient. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is? Hello?
Boy Gilling.
Yes.
Hi. Barbara Haney, you know, she advertised herself as a conservative per se, and God bless her. I mean, you know, to be honest in campaigning, it's all good, but you just, You cannot label yourself that blatantly, in my opinion, because, and you can't as a politician, you cannot win if you're going to be out there with everything you believe. You have to dodge and weave and to some extent hold back. That's what I did as city councilman. I believed in the sales tax should not be enacted. I did not broadcast that I was against the sales tax because it was a very hot issue at that moment. And I had to select my audience. I had to be cagey. I'm sorry, but politics, you have to be to some extent discreet and cagey, and it doesn't make you unethical whatsoever. I never represented myself to be other than what I was, but I was able to hold back. That's my thought about it. God bless her. I was all for it, but it's you, David, and everybody else. Okay.
I appreciate the phone call. You have a great day.
Yeah, no, those good points. Yeah, I mean, but, you know, to Barbara's credit, I mean, she was an incredibly effective assembly person, you know. Mm-hmm. She was really out there. She brought a lot of really good legislation forward, and she fought for that legislation. She was very active in, you know, helping people out in the community, constituents going, you know, that one, you know, horrible property cleanup that we did over mm-hmm. off Lackloey, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, but I mean, she was instrumental in a lot of that because she was out there. But yeah, Lloyd, I guess you're right. You know, sometimes when you're outspoken, you know, that can come back to haunt you. And it's kind of, you know, this reminds me of sports. You know, politics and elections kind of remind me of sports. You know, we've watched, you know, in different sporting events, not always the best team wins. It's the team that does the best during playoffs that advances to the finals. You know, you get these wild cards in there. I think that the McComas Rowe, Jeannie Olson, and Garrett Armstrong race was a good one. So, and no offense to Garrett, and if you're listening out there, Garrett, I'm looking forward to working with you. But
no, you're not.
But honestly, you know, if you look at just what I saw, now I saw mainly the forums. You know, Garrett, it was not nearly as strong, in my opinion, as either Jeannie or JT. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, JT was the best candidate for that position, mainly because, you know, he had experience at the borough level. So he mm-hmm. knew how the platting process worked. He knew how planning worked. He knew what happens inside that borough building and all of the inner politics that go on in that building, you know, where somebody like me that came in completely from the outside, you're walking in there blind with all of that, you know, and his overall messaging, I thought, was better. And I thought Jeannie's messaging was better. But neither of them crossed the finish line.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes that's how not always the best team wins.
Yeah. Well, and I hope both Jeannie and JT stay interested in this. I could have flipped a coin, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And they both do a lot of work. And I hope they stay interested.
Yep. Me too.
Going to take a phone call here.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
G-Man.
Hello, G-Man.
So I got a dumb question for you. I went and voted, and I was, you know, the last couple times I voted for a local election like that, there's no R or D or I on the ballot, mm-hmm. the name. So how can we get that change? Who's in charge of writing the ballots, and what's going on there?
That's Mr. Roderman's side of the equation.
Yep, that's definitely the borough's side. It, to my understanding, it has been tried in the past. It's never gone anywhere. Matt Sue managed to get that through. These are considered nonpartisan races, which, of course, you know, is, you don't even get me going on that. We don't have enough time. That's a whole show for me. But it has to come from, it has to be an ordinance from the borough. And right now, there's not going to be enough support for that.
That might be a little difficult.
Yep. Thank you for the phone call. We're going to take another one. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Rick.
Hello, Rick.
Yeah, I've just got one suggestion, and it's more statewide than Fairbanks. But until we have a income tax so that the people that come up here from the lower 48 and have to pay income tax, we aren't ever going to solve our financial problems up here.
Thank you for the phone call.
Okay. Well, I disagree with that. I think it's up to us. If Alaska in general should be looking at 2 decades or more of economic expansion that is going to or could potentially solve a lot of problems. It'll bring other problems with it. But with the demand for hard rock minerals and the demand for oil and what is going on throughout the state, we should have 2 decades or more of just really good possibilities for good-paying jobs, good supporting, you know, the infrastructure is pretty much there. And we'll use that more efficiently, and there will be an increased tax base, and I don't agree that we need a income tax.
I don't
but
believe so.
Thank you. You know, there's a point that to be made for that, but I don't.
Well, as long as my philosophy, as long as you're giving out a dividend, you can't have an income tax, because that's just a socialistic redistribution of people's income.
Yes. And Alaska in general for the last 40 years has been dependent on really outside investment that mm-hmm. resulted in the oil pipeline, and that money went to the state. And to be honest, I think we have abdicated a lot of individual responsibility to the
state.
Yeah. And somebody's got to pay for it. And we can do it ourselves. I had, what's her name, Trish, from the Find Out Free Clinic on the program yesterday. And those are the things we need to get out and support, because she's fulfilling a need at a much better way of solving problems than turning it over to the state. So those are the things we've got to realize.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I agree. I do understand the point. A lot of people say, well, you don't have skin in the game, you know, and even Governor Hammond said that, yep. you know, when he created the permanent fund and eliminated the income tax. But yeah, I don't think we need that. Imagine if we, right after the oil started flowing, you know, think back to the days when that first barrel of oil flowed down the line. Imagine if we did state budgets then, like we're doing now. We're in crisis management, but back then it was like, holy cow, Katie bar the door. Yep. We can't spend it fast enough.
Yeah.
Imagine if we would have invested that in the permanent fund or something else. We would still be sitting on ungodly amounts of resources.
Right. But, and the whole impetus was irresponsible spending way back in 76, I think that was.
And that was June 21st, 77 is when it turned it on. So
okay, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
We got about a minute and a half left. Mr. Rutterman.
Oh, boy. Well, we made it through another election.
Some of us did, some of us
some
didn't.
Some of us did, some of us didn't. This is going to be interesting on the assembly, but I've been here before. Barbara and I, you know, did this for a year where it was just the two of us, and now it's me and Tammy, and we will trudge ahead.
Right.
Mr. Prox.
Well, yes, disappointing, but life goes on. This has happened before, and let's just look forward to what's coming next and do the best we can.
Very true, very true. What's next for you, Mike?
Next for me, I've got a lot of work to do on a couple of bills I'm trying to get through on reducing regulations and licensing requirements.
Since you have an R next to your name, will the D's allow anything you do to pass?
I think so. I think we're going to get somewhere. This impact aid, that's a win-win. And there's a lot of support. There's another one on DUI diversions, mm-hmm. getting a lot of support across the aisle for that. We will see.
Mr. Rutterman, what are you working on at the borough?
Nothing at the moment. Hanging in
there. That's a good thing at the borough.
I'm showing up and doing my thing.
Fairbanks, you have a great day. I will see you on Friday. Mike, Brett, thank you very much.
Thank you. All right.